Hi, this is Connie Hunter, Cree Coast Community Radio and Community Conversations. Before we have the podcast up for you to listen to, I wanted to give a special shout out and a big thank you to Mayor Jim Auburn, who's the mayor of Port Orford, because he has given at least 10 years of service to our community, maybe more. And his wife, Karen, who has been very involved in community service, has done her share of heavy lifting in our community in Curry County. Also, thanks for all the help that Mayor Auburn has given the cities of Brookings and Gold Beach for support and partnering in various efforts such as law enforcement, healthcare, tourism, bikeways, fish sanctuaries, and many others. The first time in Mayor Ron Hedenskog's recollection, the three cities of Curry County have successfully collaborated together in joint efforts. I was reminded by Mayor Hedenskog that we should be sure and thank Mayor Auburn for all of his contributions, not only to the veteran community, but to Curry County in general. I just wanted to make sure that we did this kind of in secret, because Mayor Auburn doesn't know that Mayor Hedenskog and I concocted this thank you. But what I know is that Mayor Karl Popov echoes those same sentiments. And the stakeholders meeting that's coming up on January 15th, Mayor Auburn won't be able to attend, but we appreciate him taking the time to interview with KCIW Community Conversations and give us a two thumbs up on our VA healthcare system stakeholders meeting coming up on January 15th. Thank you so much, Mayor Ron, Mayor Carl, and Mayor Auburn, for being veterans active in our community and heavy lifting on behalf of our veterans and military family. Hi, this is KCIW Community Conversations, and today we're really glad to have Mayor Jim Auburn, who's the mayor of Port Orford, with us today. So welcome, Mayor Auburn. It was a nice drive up here. We got in between storms. So I'm going to ask you to do me a favor and give your just a little short self-intro, but welcome, Mayor.
Okay, well, I'm Mayor Jim Auburn, and I am a veteran myself. I actually retired from the Navy and the Naval Reserve way back in the Vietnam days and during the Cold War. But veterans issues are really important to me, and Connie has really called a lot of attention to them. And our three mayors in Curry County, Ron Hedenskog and Karl Popov, and I have kind of joined forces in a lot of issues. I think probably I've been mayor for Port Orford for 11 years now. And I think this last three-year period, the mayors have cooperated and got along much better than they ever have in the past. I'm very sorry that I'm not going to be able to join Ron and Karl at the event at Southwest Community College in Brookings on the 15th, but maybe you can draw a little bit out of me and show my support with this interview.
Mayor, one thing I know about you is that you are a steadfast community developer. Your heart is with veterans and their families, our active duty service members, our reservists, but your emphasis is for everybody in Curry County, not just Port Orford citizens, but all the communities. So I think your heart has to be in the right place when you're a leader. And I just appreciate the fact that we've gotten a public policy green light on behalf of veterans that's never existed before in this county. And I think the three mayors all being veterans is a huge part of that. I think the three mayors all being veterans, willing to step up and support veterans and for example, you coming out and participating as a panelist on our Veteran Suicide Awareness Town Hall meeting that was sponsored by AVVA and KCIW outreach, that was huge. Those kinds of things really remind us that leaders in local government in small rural counties like ours are part of our true north. And so I'd like you to talk a little bit about one of the comments that you made to me early on when I was talking about veteran suicide. You reminded me that there were issues about suicide across the general population. So you want to talk a little bit about that, Mayor, please?
I think this suicide awareness and things is very important. It's actually affected me personally. I have a brother-in-law that committed suicide. He wasn't a veteran. He was a foreign national. I don't want to get too personal because my sister may be listening. But it was very sad because he just left my sister and two small children and things. And it was for nothing and things. I mean, he was very just upset. And then probably more recently, maybe about 5 years ago, I had a cousin who was a veteran that ended up committing suicide. If you listen to some of the tapes and some of the things that we saw for your suicide awareness thing, they break your heart. Actually, you know, having been there and done a lot of seen a lot of the same things that they've seen, and I can see where they're coming from. And it is sad. They really need help. And I think the help that they are getting through programs like that, the people that talk to them things, are wonderful. And they deserve all the support that that we can give them.
One of the things that I know is as we build things at the community level for veterans, which, by the way, that is the direct orders from the top of the VA healthcare system, that the VA should build community partnerships, because they're starting to realize, well, we've known for a long time that the VA healthcare system is broken because it can't be a one-size-fits-all situation. And especially in rural communities where you have such travel issues and things like that, what we know is if we build those community-based programs to meet the needs of our veterans, there is an extra benefit to that, because we're building really the layer of planning that's missing, and not far behind are our programs, and in conjunction with programs for families, programs for domestic violence victims, mental health programs in general are beefed up. So when you're talking about the number of veterans that we have in Curry County, we know that addressing that huge population, and there's about 3,000 veterans and maybe more. I don't think that everybody gets counted in the census, and I've been told that by many veterans that weren't counted in the census the last time, that if we have 3,000 veterans and then we consider family members beyond that, and we're not talking about our reservists or our active duty, we're talking about a large group of people. If we build those things for our veterans and for their families, it will impact the ability to build other programs for everybody in the community.
Yeah, that is important. I think healthcare is something that we really need for our veterans, but healthcare is really lacking in Curry County for everybody. Thank goodness we've got Curry Community Health, and I think our health district is making an effort, trying to do better. We are lucky in the North County, also because we can take advantage of some of the programs that we have in Southern Coos County. We're in Port Orford, we're probably just as close to Bandon as we are to Gold Beach, so it is almost just as convenient for us to go to Bandon for healthcare needs. And also the Coast Community Health really has a presence in Port Orford. They're trying to work, and I really encourage them to work with our own health district because we should be caring for people and not trying to be parochial, trying to preserve our economic benefit or things that we get by going to one hospital or another one. There are good things about both.
You know, one thing that I want to go back to, because you and I were having an extensive conversation before we ever started to record, and we talked about substance abuse issues. And so when we talk about mental health, we have to also talk about substance abuse. And I know you have some things that you wanted to mention about that, Mayor.
Yeah, a lot of that is what we see from our, I see as mayor and things, with our police department in Port Orford. We have had officers injured when they had to confront somebody that's on some of these weird new drugs. They just seem to have superhuman strength. We had one officer that was out of commission for several weeks, and in fact, he ended up actually leaving Port Orford and going to work for the county because he was just on call so much at night, having to deal with all these crazy people. Substance abuse is bad. Another problem is when we do arrest a mentally disturbed person and things, and they're injured or things, we have to take them to Gold Beach to the hospital, and the officer has to sit with them there in the hospital while they get taken care of and things. They don't have staff, and they're eliminating staff that should be charged with doing that, and it takes up the time of a police officer when he should be back on the job answering the next call. And we only have allocation for three officers in Port Orford, and I guess currently we have three. We have been down to two, but it's very difficult, and with the fiscal situation with the county, we don't have very much county support in the city. I think for major crimes and things like that, they're great, and I think I've got a lot of respect for Sheriff John Ward and what he's doing, but he's got maybe 6 to 10 patrol deputies to cover the whole county, and that's not enough.
One of the things that we talked about was a little bit during our pre-interview discussion was about a conversation that I had with Senator Jeff Cruz, and talking about mental health funding and the fact that the state of Oregon is ranked 51, which is the lowest ranking that you can have for the level of funding for mental health. And what came out of that conversation with Senator Cruz was an invitation to participate in a work group that he says that he's going to start on behalf of trying to create the sufficient mental health funding for the state of Oregon. And our conversation that you and I had, Mayor Jim, was that when we put together that work group, law enforcement and mental health funding, those go hand in hand. And if you don't have sufficient money for public safety and law enforcement, you don't have sufficient money for mental health. And those two things go hand in hand. Did you attend the 17 County Public Safety Summit that took place about a year, maybe 2 years ago now? Did you attend that?
No, I didn't. I think our county commissioners attended it. I know David Smith attended it, and we did hear from him on some things. And also, I was on Sheriff Ward's advisory committee, and we discussed it and heard some of the results there. But I think mental health is a problem not only in Port Orford and Curry County and the state of Oregon, but nationally it's a problem. And we just have relegated mental health to the law enforcement system and things. We put people in prison instead of in hospitals. And that's wrong. It just isn't working. It seemed like it was a humane thing to do when we did it and we closed the mental institutions. Kind of strange. I just watched a PBS program, I think, last night or the night before. I think it was Ken Kesley who wrote Once Rule Over the Cuckoo's Nest, that really was based on the mental hospital in Oregon. But they don't exist anymore. And, you know, that was a horrible place. There were abuses and things. But I think it was a system that could have worked, and in some places I think they did work, and they worked much better than locking everybody up in jail or sending them to prison.
You know, there's a piece of that puzzle. Years ago, right around the time that there were new psychotropic drugs to help manage schizophrenia, depression, bipolar disorder, things like that, there was an effort to deinstitutionalize the mental hospitals, and that's what Mayor Jim is referring to. And what I really found interesting in all of this is, not interesting, but a hard thing to take. I lived in Arizona when Arizona funded less than every other state in the union, even less than Puerto Rico, and had that 51 ranking. And when I knew that Oregon was going to be ranked low, but I didn't know they'd end up 51. It was like Groundhog Day, the movie, for me. And the remedy in Arizona was very simple. We put together a group of a coalition of community-based providers, and on behalf of individuals, we sued the state of Arizona. And the state of Arizona was really, the legislature was forced by the courts to fund more money for mental health. We built a real good, solid mental health care infrastructure and system in the state of Arizona. When the economy went south, guess what? They cut mental health. But what I know from talking with Senator Cruz and also other information that's come out, the state of Oregon's kind of between a rock and a hard spot because they're about ready to get sued by the Department of Justice, by the feds, for not providing those community-based mental health care programs. So I think that with the leadership that we have now and with the relationships that we're building, for example, in this veterans summit, healthcare summit that's coming up, which is really going to explore how the VA healthcare system from Roseburg can build community partnerships with our community-based providers to fill the gaps in care for veterans, that all of this is a huge step in the right direction. And I can't tell you how appreciative I am of the fact that you support this effort, but you're right in the middle of it. You see it every day. You've laid out the in the simplest relatable terms the issues that face North County and especially Port Orford. So thank you for doing that. One of the things that we're hoping to create at the VA Roseburg Healthcare System Stakeholders Meeting is to initiate an effort to map out a system of care aimed at implementing a coordinated, collaborative service delivery system that addresses the broad range of interrelated needs of our service members, veterans, and their families. Beyond this initiating event, the mission and purpose of this effort is to grow a comprehensive set of local integrated services that adequately support our service members and their families, and again, active duty and reservists. It's very important that our local service providers get information about the signature health issues of our veterans. And so while we're talking about our health district and our health network and our community-based providers, we have to, I think, at the stakeholders meeting, remind them of the kinds of health issues that exist in our veterans community, because they're not exactly like the general population. And being from the Vietnam era and having served during that time, Mayor, you know about some of those health issues. You want to talk a little bit about that, the differences?
I think one of the biggest differences in things is that during the Vietnam era, people weren't proud of their service or being a veteran. And I can remember coming back on leave, and I was almost ashamed to wear my uniform. And that's a horrible thing to say and be, but I wasn't alone in that. I think everybody was. People got discharged and they finally came home, they had trouble getting a job. They were looked down upon by general society. Most of them were loved by their families, but that was about all the support anybody had. It wasn't good. And I think things have turned around in that respect quite a bit, and that's a good thing. I mean, we're proud of our servicemen and what they do for us, and proud to see them in uniform, things are a lot better that way. But unfortunately, a lot of these people that have served when I didn't are now older, and they are veterans, and they have needs. They have needs for health care, they have needs for housing. They need help finding housing and things. They even need help with transportation. In Port Orford, for example, there's no good public transportation to get somebody from Port Orford to Roseburg. You have to find somebody that's willing to drive them, or I think there are some services. You mentioned a service where you have, I think our son man drives a van to help people out that way. That's good. But there ought to be some good public transportation, like Curry Transit and things. We can get from one city to another in Curry County. We can get up to Bandon. I think we can get up to North Bend and things, but no further than that. It was unfortunate for our veterans when we closed the VA clinic in Bandon. That was a lifesaver, I think, for a lot of our veterans and people and things. And I hated to see it go. Lucky now we've got Coast Community Health in that facility and things, offering services to everybody. And we have the program. I don't know how well it's working now that if you live more than 40 miles from a VA facility and things, you can get service in the community. I think that's a step in the right direction. I would like to see it work. I get wonderful health care myself because I'm a retiree from the Navy. I have what they call TRICARE insurance, the same thing that active duty service members do. And I can go anywhere and get top-notch medical care. That should be, kind of thing should be available for everybody. And I can't complain about having government-sponsored health care, because when it's done right and it's funded right, it works. And the same thing should happen for other veterans.
You know, as we're talking this through, one of the things that I hope will come out, and I know that Director Douglas Paxton, who I really appreciate as the new director of VA Roseburg Healthcare Medical Center, that he's come down and really reached out to our community, but is really looking at trying to build the missing pieces. But one of the things that we would like to know is, of course, they're going to have that new clinic, and it's going to be about twice the size of the existing clinic, about 6,000 square feet in Brookings on Railroad Street. So they're trying to figure out what services, and we're trying to figure out what services, and so nobody knows exactly what's going to happen there in terms of, they'll do everything that they're doing now, but in addition, you know, how are we going to create those community-based programs, mental health programs? and what will the VA do, and what can our community providers do. But I really appreciate you also bringing up transportation issues, because as we make the agenda for our stakeholders meeting that's going to be January 15 at Southwestern Oregon Community College, sign in at 9:30, free event beginning at 10 o'clock, that the stakeholders are going to start to identify the gaps in care, the gaps in social services, the gaps in support for our veterans and transportation. We have to highlight that in a huge way. I wanted to talk a little bit more about veterans in general, not just our Vietnam veterans. We know that our local veterans tend to be older, but we don't really know how many younger veterans are coming back. We need to understand, I think, more about our veteran community. Do you have a lot of the younger veterans up here, or what do you know about veterans younger or older or from different conflict eras other than Vietnam?
I guess a lot of what I know, I'm a member of USAA insurance company, and USAA publishes a lot of information. They really serve the military, which includes veterans, retirees, and active duty personnel. And we still have veterans. We have probably people in the National Guard are probably the most prevalent and people in need coming back. We probably don't have too many Guard people in Curry County, but in the state of Oregon, it is a big thing and a big problem. I think some of the laws that we have that guarantee employment for people that are deployed, so I think those are good. They work. But I think younger people, there are more baby boomers retiring and coming here, and I think a lot of those people that are retiring and settling in Curry counties are post-Vietnam war veterans, and we should try to pay attention to them also. And they also may be in a position to help some of the older people, some of the Vietnam veterans. They could, volunteer, and they would be available for counseling and mentoring and helping get them straightened out. And there are probably also younger people that get injured. We had, one young man I knew in Port Orford and that was discharged very recently, he was in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he died on a fishing boat, and left a family. The family needs support, and I don't think they got anything from the Veterans Administration or some help, but there are people that have needs, and there are younger people that do come back. So,
and I'm glad you highlighted support for families, and I want to talk more about that in a minute. One of the things that I've learned along the way in my life's journey, I worked in a veterans service office on campus after Vietnam. And that was at the time that Jimmy Carter had a discharge upgrade program with special criteria that if you got a less than honorable discharge and under those certain criteria, which included having mental health issues, not getting treatment while you're in the military, then getting discharged with a less than honorable, or substance abuse, or some combination of both. And really what that discharge upgrade program was identifying the responsibility of the military for mental health issues in our active duty and ultimately our veterans. What happened was that veterans who had gotten less than honorable discharges and that new criteria, what that meant was veterans could get disability for their service-related illness, if it's a mental illness, if it's, you know, PTSD. And back then, they didn't call it post-traumatic stress disorder. They called it post-traumatic stress syndrome. But what happened was once they passed the legislation to agree that veterans could get their discharges upgraded under those special criteria, mental health criteria, on the back of the farm bill, when nobody was looking, they Congress passed an addendum to that that said you can get your discharge upgraded, but you can't get your benefits. And that was the fight, that the public policy advocacy that we were doing back then. And I remember it was hard for Vietnam veterans because, and all conflict years prior to that, because they didn't recognize shell shock, post-traumatic stress syndrome or disorder, whatever you want to call it, as a disability. So one thing that I've learned along the way is that new disabilities are being recognized. And one of the things that I know is only about 30% of our veterans actually apply and get their benefits. And I'm hoping that one of the things that we can do in Curry County is encourage those veterans who haven't gotten their benefits to apply for them and try and get in the system. Because one of the flaws in the choice card or the patient's choice system is that you have to already be in the healthcare system, already be getting your benefits to be eligible for that card. And have the luxury of maybe going to a community-based provider. So I guess my question to you, Mayor Jim, about this is, would you and will you help us in an effort to get our veterans to try and go after those benefits that they've earned?
I think probably what we need to do is to make them aware of what benefits are available. That's the real problem. And people don't apply. They don't know what they can apply for. There are probably some cases where people don't need them. Like in my own personal case, I'm probably eligible for a lot of veterans' benefits, but I don't need them. So I don't apply for them. But there are other people, like the gentleman that we just saw earlier today that came into the gallery, that could probably use some help knowing what's available and tried to steer him in the right direction for getting some housing helps that may help him out some. But people just don't know, so we have to advertise and let them know what's happened. I think probably something else we could do is help engage people in the law enforcement community, and because they have a lot of contact with people that have troubles. And it's really hard to deal with somebody that's mentally disturbed or if they're high on drugs or something. But these people do calm down, and usually they calm down if they're in jail. And probably the time to try to reach these people are while they're in jail, because they would be more receptive physically. They probably would be in better shape. You know, they won't, you really hope they won't be on drugs than jail. You hear horror stories sometimes, but I think that's probably the exception to the rule and things. I think I know a lot of our correction officers in the sheriff's office, and they do a fantastic job. And they have a heart. Sheriff Ward has a big heart for people, and his predecessor did also.
One of the things that has come out of discussions and work with the Sheriff's Office on behalf of veterans is the identifying that we don't have a veterans court here. And some of the research that we've done is that we don't have the numbers to have a veterans court here in Curry County, but we do have sufficient numbers to have a veterans docket. And a veterans docket and a mental health docket can work together. You get referred to services and help and support beyond maybe, you know, those 5 days in jail or in place of those 5 days in jail. So one of the things that we're hoping to work out when Director Paxson comes here is that relationship with the VA to make sure that our veterans who happen to end up in jail can have their support in jail through a veterans docket when they actually go to court for sentencing. And I know that Judge Margolis at one time had said that he would be very glad to participate in that, and we're just trying to make sure that we have the right VA connection with the Sheriff's Department. And I think Lieutenant Espinoza is the person that will be working on trying to develop that. So I'm glad you brought that up, because those are pieces that we can work on and do better. And like you said, get veterans less likely in jail and more help and support along the way. I just want to talk about one small thing. And we're talking about a community development effort when we talk about this stakeholders meeting. Everybody getting together and identifying those holes in gaps in care. And one of the main hurdles with this particular community development effort is that there are at least two substantial missing parts: well-developed relationships between the key stakeholders and a well-conceived stakeholders' organizational structure. Now, those are fancy words for saying that ORCA, we don't know everything that ORCA does, and there's another group called NeighborWorks Umpqua, we don't know exactly what they do. We have things like coordinated care organizations like All Care. What exactly do they do? How do they fit into the picture? How do they work with Curry Community Health? How do they work with Curry Health Network? How does the VA function and work with, so many questions. So what we're trying to do is lay this out and come up with a map of what we call asset mapping. Where are the assets? We don't want to create something that's already exists. So a huge piece of this puzzle is getting our leaders to say, you know what, we support this and we're in there with you to try and figure out where the holes are, who's doing what, all of this missing layer of planning. And I am more than enthusiastic that you're one of the leaders to give us that public policy green light, Mayor. And so if there's anything that you want us to say or do or represent here and now when we go to that stakeholders meeting, I will, you know, share either this recording or quote you directly, because I know your words are meaningful to me, because it represents stable governance, but also devout commitment to our veteran community.
I think a lot of these groups that you mentioned and things, I'm familiar with them because they're very active in community development activities. Probably the way to get them to them is just to talk to them and let them know what's happening. And it isn't in their mission statement to help support law enforcement or mental health or health care. But these are very important parts of our community and our community development, and they should at least be aware of them and see how their programs and the programs that they help us with can help and certainly not conflict with them. I think in local government, we interact with a a lot of people. So I think getting the mayors and the city managers on your sides and aware of what's going on is certainly a step in the right direction. And maybe that'll help get the word out to some of these other groups.
And beyond that, and when Creek, I'm choking up here because KCIW is about very close to going on the air. And I think that we can be a great community development tool. Our broadcast radius will be about 10 to 15 miles. However, we're told that with a series of repeaters and maybe tapping into the cell towers, the county cell towers, that we'll get our broadcasts all the way throughout Curry County. In the meantime, our podcast can reach anybody that can get to them either by cell phone, iTunes, or online. And we do have a significant listenership and audience that we can communicate better with everybody with this tool. So I always try and give a good plug for what we're about because we are about being that, helping to participate in developing that missing layer of planning, sometimes by convening things. A lot of people don't realize that our KCIW outreach was responsible for initiating the Veteran Suicide Awareness Town Hall meeting in partnership with the associate ABBA members. And of course, prior to that, we did the Agent Orange Town Hall meeting. And the stakeholders meeting is has been convened essentially by KCIW Outreach and our director Paxton, who was more than willing because of his mission and his responsibilities and the new direction of the VA to come together in this partnership to see if we can navigate this a little better, make sure that we fill those gaps in care. Mayor, I know this is going to be an ongoing conversation, and I am so grateful for you today and your patience with us for being a little bit late. And I always know that you have the best interests of others in mind, and I thank you so much for your leadership and for sharing this time with us on Community Conversations. I hope you'll come back soon. If there's something else you want to say before we head out, you get the last word, I promise.
Well, I think I look forward to be able to listen to KCIW on the air in Port Orford, and I'm sure that Carl Popoff feels the same way about being able to listen to it in Gold Beach, because right now you're probably limited to the South County and Brookings, but people in the North County matter also.
Well, and you know what, it has always been in our heart, and one of the people that we recruited to our board of directors is a veteran who has this experience, and we've had conversations with the county, and I think we're going to be able to get that accomplished relatively inexpensively. And my prayer is, you know, I believe in the power of prayer that we can get that done sooner rather than later in the next year. Once we get up on the air in Brookings, I think that that will give us not only a fundraising tool 24/7, 365 on behalf of to support the radio station, but to support other efforts in the community. And I think the more we work together, not just as South County and North County, but as Curry County, that everybody's going to benefit. Thank you for mentioning that.
Okay, thank you. And please convey my best regards and my concern and to everybody at your stakeholders meeting on the 15th, and I'm sorry I won't be there and things, but I hope you can, this interview will help show my support.
Thank you so much, and we are blessed to have three veterans at the top at our cities as mayors, and we look forward to a brighter 2016. And one little sneak question, any resolutions, New Year's resolutions?
Well, I've had some health issues, but as a result of the health issues, I've lost about 50 pounds, and I hope to keep that off in a healthy manner.
Well, that's great. Well, you look great, and it's good to see you, and thank you for being here, and God bless your family in 2000.
Thank you for listening to Currie Coast Community Radio, your community-supported radio station. You can help support KCIW by volunteering your time or contributing to our capital campaign. For more information, go to our website, kciw.org. Thank you for listening.